Well, on a Sunday morning, we are in the book of Jonah. So I'd like to turn you to Jonah another time. And we're going to turn to chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first 5 verses. So Jonah chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. Jonah is a prophet of the Lord. He's been sent to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. God has dealt with him. And finally, Jonah has gone to Nineveh. And this is what happened. So Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. Now, as we started looking at this book, our starting point, our entry point, was the great storm that rages in chapter 1. And we talked about the storms of life that we experience, whether they're personal or whether the sort of thing we've experienced over the last 2 years, all the great storm that is COVID. And as we've seen Jonah moving through the storm that came upon him in chapter 1, we've been asking the question, well, what is God doing in our lives when we experience these storms? You know, what is God doing? Now, at some levels, those questions aren't, they're unanswerable. There may be many things we could suggest that God is doing through the storms of life. But I think it's pretty clear from this passage and from other books in the Bible, other chapters of the Bible, that we can be certain about one thing, that whenever God brings a storm into our life, he is seeking to wake us up. He's seeking to awaken us to some spiritual realities. Now, that's what we've been thinking about as we followed Jonah through his journey. We've seen how God has been awakening him to spiritual realities. We've also seen how God has been awakening Nineveh to spiritual realities. And we've seen what that means. We've seen how it means awakening to the fact that we have a problem. And our problem is not our circumstances, or it's not the people in our lives, although they may be causing us problems. No, the problem is in ourselves. It's the problem of sin. And the problem that God is not at the center, that we try to put ourselves at the center of our lives. Sin. And we need to be awakened to that reality. So in the storm, in chapter 1, that's what happens to Jonah. He's confronted with his own sinfulness and has to own it and acknowledge it. But we've also talked about the fact that there's another side to this awakening. We've got to be awakened to our sin. But that's not enough. If you just get awakened to your sin, you're going to be locked into a very dark place indeed. It's going to kill you. We need to go further. We need to be awakened, not just to our sin, but to God's grace. We need to be awakened to the fact that even though we are sinners, even though like Jonah we're on the run from God, God is coming after us. And he's coming after us in love. And he's coming after us to win us back. And he's coming after us to save us from the mess we're making of our lives. And so we've talked about that too. And we've talked about the grace of God. That he's not out to get us. That he's not against us. That he's not there today scowling at you because you've come to church and you've had a bad week and you don't really make the grades. No, that's a false idea about God. The great thing about him, his very being defines it, is that he is compassionate and kind and accepting. So he is holy. Sin is a problem, but God in his grace has found a way to deal with our sin so that we can come to God in Jesus Christ. And we can come with freedom. We can be like that son that we read of in Luke 15. We can come home with our problems and our all the sins and the bad things we've done and ready to try and make amends and try to earn our way back into the family. But what God does is he runs to meet us, and he's not interested in any of that, and he throws his arms around us and he reinstates us into the family. Now that's the great message we've got. What's been going on in our lives when bad things happen? Well, God is seeking to awaken us to our sin, but also to his grace. Now, once you've got to that point, a massive question arises. And the question is, well, okay, I get that, but how do I lay hold of that grace? How do I lay hold of this kindness? What have I got to do? And so last time, which was 2 weeks ago, last time we saw there in verse 5, what has to happen to lay hold of this amazing grace that's being extended to us. It says there at the beginning, the Ninevites believed God. It's about faith. You've got to put your faith in Christ. You've got to believe God. That's the great moment. So you could come in here today, never having thought about this, but if you were to exercise faith today, put your faith in Christ, you would be transformed on the spot. You would move from being outside to inside, from being condemned to being accepted. You would be embraced and embraced forever by the God of glory, the God of holiness, the God of majesty. He would become your loving, joyful father, and you would become his heir. And you wouldn't have done anything to get that. You wouldn't have managed to sort anything out. It could happen on the spot. On the spot. It's all about faith. There's got to be that moment of faith. That's what moves us. That's what reconciles us. Moves us from the outside to the inside. Now that, sort of as fast as I can do it, is a summary of where we've got to over the last 10 weeks. 9 weeks, as we've been looking at these chapters. Now, this is what I want to do today. We're coming to the sort of end of this series almost. Maybe another one, maybe another two sermons, though who can tell. But I want to make an assumption today now. I want to assume that I'm talking to people that have got this and who are sitting there saying, okay, I buy this, I understand what you're saying, and I want it. So I'm going to imagine now I'm talking to people who say, do you know what? I want to have faith. I want to embrace this. I want to believe this. There's nothing I want more than to believe this. What have I got to do? It just doesn't seem to be happening for me. What have I got to do? What has to happen? Do I have to have a dream or a vision? Do I have to have some sort of out-of-body experience? Do I have to solve all my intellectual questions about Christianity? You know, all the sort of problems I might have with it? Do I just have to want it really badly? How do I get faith? That's the question I want to address. And there's two things I want to say. First of all, I want to just answer that question. And then I want to talk about pursuing that answer. So those two things, okay? So the first thing, what's the answer? How do I get faith? I can see it's faith that I need, faith in Christ that I need. That's what will transform everything. But how do I get it? How do I get faith? I want it. How do I get it? I've never had a dream. I've never had a vision. I've never had an out-of-body experience. I've still got questions intellectually. What's the answer? Well, that's what we'll look at first. Well, it's there, right there. Let's think about the experience of that city of Nineveh. There in those verses we read at the beginning of chapter 3. They, at the beginning of the chapter, they are They're the capital city of the most wicked nation on earth. That's who they are. They were famous for it. We talked about this in weeks gone by. The Ninevites were a terrifying lot. They were a ruthless lot. When they came to attack you, which they did frequently, you were in real trouble. And if you resisted them and they overwhelmed you, they would treat you with appalling, ghastly brutality. They would do things to you which I really wouldn't want to mention in public. This is who we're talking about. These are the alphas. These are the people who don't care. These are the people who are at the center. So when you start chapter 3, that's who these people are. And then Jonah turns up. You could see why he didn't want to go, really, at one level. Jonah turns up, and his message to Nineveh is the judgment's going to come. It's a very simple sermon. It's there in second half of chapter 4. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So he's preaching as he travels through the city. The judgment is about to fall on the city of Nineveh. And then we read, it was our text last time, that the Ninevites believed God. And if we read on further, we would see that God relented, that God forgave them. So there's the process we want to go through, isn't it? We want to get to the point where we have the faith of the Ninevites. We want to get to the point where we are safe, embraced, no longer in danger of judgment because of our sin, but in Christ, protected forever. Now, the question we're asking is, how did they get there? There in verse 5, they believed God, but how did they get there? Well, here's the answer to our question then. What they needed was to hear the word of the Lord. That's what they needed. They needed a preacher, Jonah in this case, to go and to give them a message from God. Now, verse 2 really stresses that. Jonah sent the second time, and God says to him in verse 2, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." So this is not Jonah giving his opinions. This is not Jonah just sharing his thoughts. No, this is Jonah the prophet, who's been sent as a messenger. And what he's bringing is not from Jonah, and it's not from Israel. What he's bringing is from God himself. Preach to them, give to them, proclaim to them the message I give you. Now, that is the thing. It's as they hear that message, that is the thing that brings them to faith. They find faith as they hear the word of the Lord. That's the thing. That's the environment. That's the cause of their faith. That's where their faith comes from. They're not trying to work it up. They weren't really thinking about it until Jonah started to preach to them. It wasn't just a sort of psychological thing that certain personality types are prone to. It wasn't a vision that they had. It was a very ordinary, actually quite hostile, flesh and blood man who is speaking words and preaching to the people in the streets. They heard the word of the Lord, and it was that which brought them to faith. So here's the answer to our question. If you want to have faith, you say, yeah, I see it. I understand it. I want this. I want this badly. What have I got to do? What have I got to get? Well, the answer to that question is you've got to get under the word of God. You've got to be hearing the word of God. Now, if you think about it, that's pretty obvious. How do you get to know anybody? You could stalk them. You could stalk them online, check out the Facebook and look at all the pictures. You could do that. Or if it was a celebrity, you could, read their books or their biography or something, or, watch their Instagram till your eyes fall out. You could know tons about them by doing that, or tons of things that they want you to think about them by doing that. But you're not really knowing them, are you? If you want to get to know somebody, you've got to get face to face, you've got to get into their presence, and you've got to use these. You've got to listen. You've got to get them talking. You've got to get them opening up. You've got to get them sharing. There needs to be a hearing of their words. You need to be in their presence, and you need to be hearing them, their words, listening to them talk. That's how you get to know anyone. And what we're seeing here is that it's exactly the same with God. So you can learn all the theology, you can do all the courses, you can, you know, get into all the apologetics and find the answers to all the hard questions. And all that may well give you clarity. It's important stuff. I'm not decrying it at all. It may give you clarity. It may clear your thinking. But really, you're just like the person just reading a book about someone. That's not going to give you faith. You've got to get to the point where you're in his presence, where he's opening up to you, where you've got the words. Faith is only going to come when you're in his presence as you're listening to him speak. That's why I wanted to read Romans 10 earlier on. Because Romans 10 is a great passage. It starts off with the Apostle Paul telling about his longing for his fellow Israelites to come to faith in Christ. And it's a painful passage as it begins. And he's longing for them to come to believe in Christ. The Messiah has come and they've rejected him. And he's longing that they might see what they've done and turn again. And they talk about how the fact they've got a zeal for God. They're passionate about God, but they don't have an understanding. They don't understand who Jesus really is. And they don't really understand their own laws. They're trying to earn their way to heaven. And yet the truth is that righteousness is found only in Christ alone. That it's a gift, that we receive it as we put our faith in him. Okay, that's chapter 10 of Romans. And then the question comes, well, how do you get faith? And verse 14, he says this. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? There's the faith word, belief. And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And then he goes on, he says, faith, this is verse 17, faith comes from hearing. Now that's what I'm saying. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now those are enormously important statements. He's saying the same thing I've been saying here, but using Jonah to that end. You want to meet God. You want to have faith in God, then you've got to get under his word. You've got to get into his presence, because faith comes through hearing. And the hearing that we're talking about comes from the word of Christ. It comes from this book. So there's the basic answer to our question. How should I get faith? What do you want me to do? Well, the basic answer is know that you need it and then get under the word. Get under the preaching of the word. You're in the right place, you know. If you want faith, you're in the right place. You know what happens? If church is working properly, so if we're doing it right here, if it's all functioning like it's meant to, do you know what's supposed to happen? The preacher's meant to disappear. And actually the person next to you is meant to disappear, at least till coffee time afterwards. And the building and everything else is meant to disappear. If it's working properly, what's meant to happen is that you enter this realm where it's just you and God. And the Holy Spirit of God is taking the word of God and he is showing you things. Sometimes he shows you yourself and some sin that you haven't even noticed, and he exposes it. And then he shows you Christ. And he shows you what Jesus has done on the cross. And he shows you God's character and God's work. You know, there's a 1,200-page book here. Every single word of it is God opening up to us. God explaining himself to us. God sitting down and bearing his soul to us. So, you know, if you want faith, you're in the right place. Under the word of God. And what I would say is this. You've got to start asking him to really speak to you as you hear, as you read. You come to church now seeking God. And how do you do that? Well, you start by telling him where you're at. You start by telling him, I don't understand this. I sort of want it, but I don't get it. You know, real honesty, real openness, real vulnerability before God. You tell him, you just tell him everything. You tell him where you're at. If you've got a problem with him, you tell him. If you've got an issue with Christians, you tell him. If you've got an obstacle, you tell him. You start telling him the issues you've got. You tell him how you'd like to believe, but you can't. And you just ask for help. You start praying prayers like, if you're real, Lord, show me. Or I think you're real, but I'm not convinced, show me. Or I'd love to believe this, but I'm not convinced about this. Or the cost is too great. Help me, show me, speak to me, make it real to me. You know, prayer, you know, that's what it is, prayer. Opening up to God, reality with God. The great enemy, you know, is that we just come to church and sit through and go home. That's a great way to go to hell. It really is. It's a great way to go to hell and not even know you're going. Okay, there's the first thing. I'm going to press on. There's 2 points. That was the first point. There's the basic answer to that question. Now, second thing I want to talk about is how you pursue that answer. And there's 3 things I want to say that won't take long. First thing I want to say is pursuing that answer, pursuing the hearing and faith, you know, it's not automatic. That's the first thing. It's not automatic. You know, as we go back to the children's talk, you can sit in the garage as long as you like. It won't make you a car. You can sit under the word of God your entire life and never become a Christian. You can be present. You can be listening. You could even be preaching. Doesn't make you a believer. It doesn't mean you have faith. Why? Well, we're seeing it here in this passage. There has to be a response. Do you remember what we said about faith a couple of weeks ago? A heart response. That's the beginning of a relationship, an entrusting of ourselves to God in Christ. So the question is not just, are you hearing? That's vital. You've got to be hearing. But actually, the question is not just are you hearing, but how are you responding? You know, what's going on? And what's the internal dialogue? What's the reflex that's going on in your heart? Did you shut down half an hour ago? What's the response? I don't want to second guess you. Are you Jonah? I mean, Jonah, in the very first verse, he gets the word of the Lord. He hears it. He's told to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. And he hears the words, but he runs away and he goes in the opposite direction. Maybe that's the response. Of course there'll be people doing that who are hearing these words. Of course there will. That's one of the big responses. We hear it, but we reject it. We don't want to know. But maybe you're not Jonah. Maybe actually you're Nineveh, because Nineveh heard the same message, the same words, but they heard and they accepted it. So what I'm saying is this, it's not an automatic thing. It's not just get under the word of God, get under the preaching and everything will be okay. No, it's not going to turn you into a car. You're still going to be a mechanic. There's got to be a response. So it's not automatic. That's the first thing. Second thing to say is that it's possible, and the experience of many people is, that actually the journey to faith, as you're under the word, seeking, asking these questions, praying like this, it can be a long journey. It can be. And the example before us here is Jonah. He's on a long journey, is our Jonah. He hears the word of the Lord, there's resistance, he rejects it. And really that what begins to bring on the storm as God pursues him and tries to awaken him and bring him to his senses. And, you know, then he's in the belly of the fish, and that's a pretty unpleasant experience. But there he does some business with God. There he faces up to some realities. There he's willing at least to obey God now, and he does experience God's grace for himself, But he goes to chapter 3 and he finally goes to Nineveh and he finally starts preaching in Nineveh, but he's not really there willingly. His heart's not in it. And when Nineveh repents, well, chapter 4 is the great punchline, he's furious about it. These Assyrians deserve judgment. The last thing he wants to see is them being forgiven. And he has the audacity at the beginning of chapter 4 to start talking to God and say, I knew this would happen. I know what you're like. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and that you relent from sending calamity. I knew you'd forgive these people. That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. You know, this is a long and painful journey for Jonah. And so chapter 4 is about God having to deal with him again and God having to try and show him how stupid he's being, how unreasonable he's being, try to wrestle with him, to bring him truly to his senses. And you know what? The book ends without us knowing what happens. There's no chapter 5. It's left hanging. What's going to happen to Jonah? It's left hanging. So, you see what I'm saying? That this journey to faith, it can be long. It can be painful. You know, just like Jonah had an awful lot of obstacles to overcome, his own self-righteousness was one. We too, we've got lots of obstacles to overcome. You know, maybe you start to think there's the ring of truth here, but maybe you've had a really bad experience of church. And that's an obstacle to you. You say, well, it can't be true because I've met Christians and they were terrible people. And that's an obstacle. And it's going to take some work for God to lead you through that and to get over that. And maybe you've got some deep prejudice against God. Actually, we all do have a prejudice against God. That's one of the effects of our sinfulness. And maybe it's going to take an awful long time for that to be won over. You know, the assumption that God's out to get us, that can be a huge obstacle. Maybe it'll take a long time for us to get over that. Or maybe you've got lots of intellectual problems. You know, the problem of suffering, the issues around science. And you know, we're in a culture that's very secular, that flags all these problems up and tells us they're insurmountable. Well, maybe you've got to work at those and overcome. Maybe you're thinking about the cost of becoming a Christian. Maybe there are lifelong practices that you've been engaged in, that you know will have to go. Maybe you know you'll have to take a stand in your life and there's a price involved with that. You know you'll have to go out public as a Christian, that you can't be a secret believer. There can be all sorts of great obstacles. The journey can be long. But be encouraged here, because you see God leading Jonah every step of the way. One of the beautiful things about this book is that God perseveres with Jonah. And the great lesson of that is this: God will persevere with you. He will. You'll get fed up of him way before he gets fed up of you. And as long as you have breath in your body, his arms are open. They really are. As long as you have breath, his arms are open. So we're talking about pursuing the answer, pursuing faith, seeking God. Got to be under the word. That's the answer. How do you pursue it? Well, it's not automatic. It's not just about being under the word. There's got to be a response. And then we're saying that it could be a long journey. Jonah's journey is long. Keep going. Keep pursuing. You know, there's nowhere else to go. It's Christ who has the words of eternal life. There's like another sermon in that, but I'm going to press on to the last thing I want to say. It can be a long journey, but hear this, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And here we're looking at the experience of Nineveh. So Jonah is on this long and painful journey as he has to work through all his prejudices and all his self-righteousness and all the rest of it. But Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, they hear the gospel and bang, they respond. There's faith. It's instant. Now, we need to be aware of this and we need to make sure this category exists. We have to know this then, that you could walk in here today unbelieving, you could hear the gospel, you could be awakened to your sin, you could be awakened to God's grace, you could see it in Jesus Christ and believe it and be changed on the spot and be drinking coffee in 20 minutes' time, 10 minutes' time, a new person. You see, there may be lots of obstacles in here, in our hearts, but there are no obstacles out there. It's crucial for us to understand. The only obstacle between you and God is the ones you've erected, the ones you've built. The only walls are the ones you've built, because he has demolished every other obstacle. There are no obstacles out there anymore between you and God. There used to be plenty. There was one called sin, your guilt. That's a huge one. There's the fact you were alienated from God, that the relationship had been broken. That's a huge one. There's the reality of the wrath of God. That's a huge one. There's the devil. He's a huge one. You know, when those obstacles were there, it was impossible for any of us to ever find God. But the great news of the Bible, the great gospel message of the Bible, is that Jesus has demolished those obstacles. He's taken those obstacles and they are gone. And this was his great work. This is what he came into the world to do at such great cost. So what about the obstacle of my sin? Well, the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. What about the alienation? The broken relationship between me and God. What about the fact that I'm far away from him? Well, the Bible tells us that we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. What about the wrath of God, his righteous anger against my sin? Well, Christ himself has become the propitiation for our sins, the Bible says. He's become the sacrifice that turns aside wrath. What about Satan? Well, Christ has disarmed principalities and powers, triumphing over them by the cross. So what I want to finish with today is this realization that though there may be obstacles in here, there are none out there. Jesus has demolished every single one. So my question then becomes, why not the response of Nineveh? Some people go on this long journey as they overcome all the different obstacles and they need God to lead them through step by step by step. But why not the response of Nineveh? Why not here? Why not now? Why not here? Why not now? You know, the Lord Jesus did his work well. There's no obstacle. And God in his providence has brought you to this moment. And I tell you, everything is ready. The door is open. His arms are open. The Father is scanning the horizon for you, looking for the first sign that finally you're coming. And he'll see you coming. He'll see you coming a long way off. And you know what he'll do? He will run to meet you. And when you meet, you'll have your little speech about how you're a sinner and you're not worthy, and you give him a chance and you'll prove you can be different, and he won't be interested. He'll throw his arms around you. He'll put that ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. There'll be that robe of righteousness, that seat at the table. Everything's ready. The only thing missing is you. And the question I'm asking is it not time? Could not today be the day? Will you not come? No one can do it for you. But if God is speaking to you, speak back. Open up. Tell him where you are. Tell him what you want. Ask him to save. Ask him to forgive, all for Jesus' sake. And he will. He will. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we put ourselves afresh, Lord, into your hands. We thank you that the Lord Jesus has cleared every obstacle, that there's nothing in the way anymore. There's nothing to hinder us. There's no wall. Christ is the door. He's opened up a new and a living way. And now, Lord, we pray. And we say to you, Lord, we are coming now, not tomorrow, Lord, not later on. We're coming now, Lord. Accept us. Accept us for Jesus' sake. Amen.